right? Great. Great. We'll get the head, the tail, and the whole damn thing.
I feel like I know that one.
Jaws. It came out a couple of years ago.
Jaws.
Oh, yes, I saw that with my sons.
I finally broke.
Well, yeah. You already determined that I'm one of them.
Oh, really? Oh, shit, this was when I was on the phone? Okay.
No, wait, really?
No.
I was just suggesting that. I didn't think...
It would be funny, but no.
You're part British?
I'm part British.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's... It told me Spencer.
Yeah, now you get to, yeah, now you get to be a fucking like a Cockney instead.
Told me Spencer.
I'm told me Spencer.
Fucking what?
From Bristol.
I'll fucking slap you.
Okay, I should probably put this out there. This has gone a little bit longer than I thought it was going to go.
Sorry.
And we are going into the end game here. But I don't know how much everybody can stick around.
I'm
like,
fine right now.
I'm fine. Let's rock and roll.
Okay. 1 sec. Woo. Cool.
Adam, you good?
Yep. Let's do this.
You hot?
Okay.
Let's go get him.
Fuck yeah. Okay. So, you guys are heading to the church, huh?
Yep. That's right. Red wedding at a church.
Sweet. Okay. So, you guys are cruising down the street. Going through... What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, God, it's 6'4". Gotcha.
I'm looking under the seats for the cat.
Where's your witch's cat?
Eventually find an album. And there's, like, pictures of her sons, her family. And the boys have a cat between them, a little black cat.
Huh?
I knew it.
So.
Yes.
As you guys, head out of town, you actually start heading out of town towards Highside. You notice that that's where the church is, that's where the pastor lives, like right next door to the church also, like it's like, mm-hmm. You know, it's like his house is literally next door. So you guys are approaching. Are you guys doing anything like stealthy? Are you, you know, sneaking in? Are you just driving up and, like, kicking in the door gangbuster style?
Yeah, I mean, that's the last one's what I thought.
Yeah, I kind of thought that, too.
Okay.
I was going to say, is Miss T-Wood's van a clunker?
No, it's a decent van. She bought it with her divorce settlement.
Tommy's car isn't a clunker, but it is loud.
So we could do the kicking in the door thing, but Miss T would knock politely on the door, and then Tommy just go, boom,
bam.
Okay, so yeah, you guys pull up. You're not quiet as you pull up, but you don't see any like windows or like where lights come on or anything. What are you guys? Are you going to the church or are you going into the pastor's house?
Well, I imagine he's in the church. But I don't know. Tommy gotcha. Would assume that he's always in the church.
I would assume too.
When she, Miss T-Wood is heading for the house, and when she sees the students like going off to the church, she's like, "Ah!" Oh. And she follows after them with Brittany. Oh wait, no, Brittany's in the.
Brittany stays
the van,
in the van,
staying safe.
Yes.
You guys kind of come up to the church doors. And you do see they seem to be, like, unlocked. They don't seem to be locked or anything, but there doesn't seem to be any lights on or anything. Like, coming from the church. You guys just heading inside, or you still kicking open the door for, or you guys, like, just opening it and walking
in? No, if they're unlocked, he's not going to kick it open.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, you kind of step up, you test the handle, and it seems to open up fine. You guys walk in, and it's a very simple church. There is, like, only probably, like, 16 pews or something like that down the way. Almost like one of those old Western churches that you see where it's, like, literally just, like, some, like, a bunch of pews in a row with, like, a podium up front with, like, a raised area. And then, like, maybe a room off to, like, the right-hand side you can walk around to. But other than that, there doesn't seem to be anything going on. It's dark in there. It's very quiet. The crickets are like just crazy outside because you guys are kind of back in the mm-hmm. woods right now.
As we're heading in, I quietly whisper, "No prisoners."
There's no mercy in this dojo.
Tommy's gonna be like, "Pastor, hello." I don't think he's here. Maybe he is at home.
Can we search the place?
Search it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's dark.
Yeah, look for a light switch.
Okay, so what I'll have you do in this case, I'm gonna have you guys do investigate a mystery. One person, whoever's your sharpest, is going to do investigate a mystery, and then everybody else can roll help out to try to help them on their roll.
My sharp.
Can I try instead to sort of gauge if we're walking into danger here?
Absolutely. Like, go read a bad situation.
Yeah. Failure.
Fuck.
Oof.
Seems okay.
Yeah.
My sharp,
yeah, as far as you know, it seems normal.
Is +2 for investigate. I don't know what if we want to go that route or not.
Yeah. So we're gonna do investigate mystery. Miss T-Wood is going to do the power of heart.
Oh shit.
Ooh.
Oh, when
what's that one do?
When fighting a monster, if you help someone, don't roll plus cool, you automatically help as though you rolled a 10.
Okay.
We're not yet fighting a monster.
That's what I was wondering. I think that's actually like fighting the monster.
In a fight?
Yeah, okay. I think it's when your guys are actually toe to toe with the monster.
Well, that'll be fucking helpful at the time.
Super helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately in this one. But you can roll help out. Looks like Adam already rolled. Jack. Yep. Jack is helping out. He's got a 7, so that's a +1.
I only have a 1 sharp. Where's so.
Damn.
Damn, Miss T-Wood.
With a critical.
Actually,
13 on help
you know
out.
What? Yeah, I was going to say, I told you guys we're going off the advanced rules, so essentially that means that if on a 12+, I believe that means that the person gets to treat their roll as a 12+.
That is what it means.
Real quick. Yep, so... Yeah. Yep, you may ask... Oh, goddammit, investigate a mystery. That's looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at investigate a mystery. Yep, you help out lets you act as if they rolled a 12, regardless of what they actually got. So, Tommy, just for funsies, go ahead and roll it. I just want to see if you ended up, like, fucking botching it with a 1.
What, me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
weren't you the one that was actually going to roll the...
Oh,
yeah.
That
would have
been
fine,
13.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yep, he rolled 11 plus the 13. So you guys had, like, double whatever. So, yeah. So as you guys go ahead and you start looking through this place, you find, like, 2 rooms in the back. One on the right is the first one you guys check. That seems to be the preacher's study, essentially. And you go through some stuff and you pretty much just find, like, books about just sermons, the Bible, different, you know, testaments, different things, and like in notes written out as if he's like writing his, you know, his weekly sermons and stuff out for, you know, the next thing he goes. But
please tell me there's Dummy's Guide to Summoning Demons.
The idiot's guide to monster summon. So
question.
Sure.
What denomination is this?
Oh shit, I don't know.
I guess what I'm asking is please don't tell me they have like a bowl of holy water or something near the door.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is definitely very, very Catholic, like straight up, like I wouldn't say Catholic. They're like they're actually kind of like look like almost like Southern Baptist, like very fire, almost Catholic, very fire and brimstone. So it's definitely Christianity, but it is like the intense
the hardcore.
I'm asking because whether it would trigger my drive or not.
Oh shit. Yeah, I would say there's probably a little thing of water. Like a little what do they call that? The little bowl that they fucking like baptize kids in and stuff like
bowl?
That.
Bowl?
No.
Baptismal font.
No
I
fucking
think?
Yeah, I think it's called baptism. It's called bowl.
Font sounds right.
The bowl. I've been to enough baptisms to know that it's not a bowl.
A
not
bowl.
Called a bowl either. Yeah. So, yeah. So I would say as you guys are walking in, yeah, go ahead and give me that that little. What do you got to do to roll cool?
I gotta
act under pressure.
Whenever you have a chance to indulge that emotion, you must do so immediately or act under pressure to resist.
Okay, so you are walking past with Spencer. Like, he's been kind of sticking, he's got this little bit of confidence now that he's walking around with this shotgun, you know, tough guy with a gun. And so as you guys walk past that together...
That is a failure on my part.
Okay, so you roll a failure. So you have to act on...
By the way.
And you level up.
Yep.
So you immediately get to choose an ability you want to take from your thing. So if you're ready for that, go for it. But if not...
Yeah, I have that. Yeah, I'm getting a plus one to tough.
Tough, plus one to tough. I like it. But you do fail your thing. So as you're walking past this little baptismal bowl thing, you start getting these flashes in your mind. These weird, dark images of like... people, like yourself. You see yourself like on, like in the water. You're taken back to that moment when you're on the beach and all those kids like took your camera and they threw it into the water, or you went out to get it and you came back and they like were laughing and joking, and you remember seeing Brock's face like, you know, laughing, da 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 da, and then as you got to the shore, you remember them all gathering around you and like kind of pushing at you and stuff, and like kind of pushing you back and forth between each other until Brock and a couple other guys pick you up, and you know, they make their little comment about how you look better wet and lift you up and just toss you into the water again. And you remember that just searing pain in the back of your head as it smacked against that rock and everything going dark. And then all of a sudden you remember coming to. You remember like struggling and like and fighting, and you're just surrounded by water. You couldn't tell what was up, what was down. Your head throbbed. You didn't know what was going on. And then you, as you fought to try to make it to the surface, you remember just like slowly kind of coming to a calm. And then everything fading away.
I'm gonna grab Spencer and try and drown him.
Okay.
What do I need to roll?
I'm gonna say you need to roll a... Yeah, oh, fuck.
He's good.
Well, I mean, we'll see. So yeah, as out of nowhere, Spencer, like, you kind of like... Well, how does it look to you, like, when you do this? Like, what is it? Like, how do you respond? Ooh. What is your demeanor?
Genuinely... it's sorry for things to go like so weird off the rails here for a moment, but as we're passing that, you know, small but deep enough amount of water, Kayla stops and is sort of standing very still, and that battle axe kind of slumps off of her shoulder, and I think Spencer lingers to ask her what the hell's up, and just grabs him by the back of the neck like he's a kitten and steers him towards that water, and down goes the head.
Okay. All of a sudden, you hear the clank of her axe hit the floor, and you see all of a sudden, as you guys, if you turn around, you look, you'll see that, yeah, she grabs Spencer essentially by the back of the hair. Spencer freaks out, like tries to like doesn't know what's happening, tries to like, he drops his shotgun trying to like reach back to stop her hand. And she steers him towards this bowl thing, and she just shoves his head down in this like in this bowl, and you just see him fighting and like his arms flailing trying to slap at her, like just freaking the fuck out.
I mean, Jack will try to stop her, but damn, shit got dark fast.
What the fuck are you doing,
Kayla? What the? And he's just gonna try to grab her and pull her off.
Yeah, Tommy will help.
Can T would try and like pull, like lead Spencer, like pull him away to get him out of Kayla's grip?
Yeah, I'll let you guys all kind of do your thing. So Spencer, or not Spencer, Tommy, go ahead. You said you're going to help out. Go ahead and roll help out. Jack, you go ahead and roll kick some ass. And Tommy will be helping you. And Miss T-Wood, you roll protect someone.
I have an ability called Let's Get Out of Here. If you can protect someone by telling them what to do or by leading them out, roll charm instead of tough.
That's perfectly fine. So, yep, go ahead and roll. Okay. Okay, that's a success there.
I'm scared to click.
Say so YouTube, it won't let you.
No, you gotta click on the. I'm scared to click. I don't wanna.
Oh, you can do it.
You got this. It's okay.
You got this, bud.
It's a tough roll.
You got this.
Hey. Nice. I mean, Tommy, you want to roll your help just in case?
I mean, sure. There you go.
Hey, I'd say that's plus one. Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a failure.
Yeah.
But still, between the two of you, Jack come up and grab Kayla around the waist and, like, yank her back. And she holds on for dear life. And Miss T-Wood, you walk up and you essentially, like boot the actual pedestal thing with the bowl, like, over. And it kind of, like, takes Spencer down with it, kind of. Like, you guys all kind of collapse down. And Kayla, you lose grip as he falls. And the water splashes across the ground and you're taken out of it. Like, you're now that there is no ability to drown him, it kind of subsides. But, Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
I think as soon as the water spilled and Jack's kind of pulled her off, she goes from silently trying to shove Spencer under to gasping and panting and looking like a very, very confused teenage kid.
What was that?
I don't know.
Tommy's gonna get up and he is pointing the shotgun. You with those fucking things?
No.
He looks at Jack.
Oh, no.
T-Wood pulls Spencer away and is making sure that he's breathing.
Yeah. He's
Why did you just try to kill Spencer?
I don't know. Something just, it came over me. I'm sorry.
That's not something that just comes over somebody.
It's not funny.
No. At all.
I don't know.
It's okay, guys. I think she's just joking.
He's just gonna, like, lower the gun and kind of shake his head and walk off. We need to get out of here. I don't think he's here.
Maybe he's at home.
Unless I did I ever do that investigating?
You guys did, and you did well. But then
we didn't find
much. Yeah, sorry. Got a little distracted.
Oh, that's, okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything.
No, you guys did very well in your investigate. In fact, that was the one you guys did, I think, a 13 on. So, plus what your helps did. So,
I think he just doesn't really know what to say. It seems like, to him, the only way to explain it away is like it was a shitty prank or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how Jack's going to take it, because, like, he's not going to believe she was trying to kill him.
Yeah, I don't know where, right? You gotta explain it away some way.
Yeah. And you guys are under a lot of fucking stress. That, like, too. You guys are high school students investigating a monster murder. You talk to a fucking federal agent that called off the people you were trying to have come help you to tell you, sorry, no one's gonna make it in time to you, and you better figure it out. Like, that's a lot of shit to be under.
T-Wood's assuming that it's not a prank, but that it's just stress. Like, something in poor Kayla just went and snapped, and then she started panicking immediately afterwards. So T-Wood's just like, okay, everyone's under a lot of stress. Make sure that I know no one's hurt. So she's, like, patting Spencer's back and making sure that he's, like, sitting upright so he's breathing. And all right.
So,
All right, okay,
sorry, I,
They're all on the same side, all right, so...
Yeah.
No pointing guns at friendly people. She points at Tommy.
No more trying to drown people. Do not point guns at anyone.
Gun versus drowned, don't... Use your hands, not your...
It won't happen again. Yes. I'm gonna go get my axe.
Okay, Kayla.
Like, scramble across the floor and sort of heft this huge prop axe with one hand and kind of stick both my hands in my pocket with my axe under my armpit.
Nice.
So, who wants to check and see if he's home?
Before you guys do that, as you guys were going through his office, you did find a small, like, I guess it was beneath one of the, like, shelving thingies. There seemed to be kind of like a recess in the wall almost that had, like, a little lock to it. It does seem to be locked, but luckily you guys have somebody who seems to be really good at that.
Would it be safe to assume that he kept the bobby pin from earlier?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, there's no way T-Wood was putting that back in her hair. Yep.
Then he'll get to work on it.
Okay. So, yeah, roll me another burglar.
10.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Total success. You fiddle with it, you click it, sure enough, it clicks, and the kind of, like, almost like a little, like, shelf pops out. It's like the lock is on the top. And it's like a square in the wall. So when it falls, it has like two little strings kind of, and it falls flat. And it's like a little little shelf that kind of sits right there to the wall. And when it does, you see that there's a couple books in there that seem pretty old. And one of them is a book on like the history of Cliffside. Almost like a documented from preachers that have lived there and them kind of keeping their own little like journals of the time. But you do notice that as you get to the end, there doesn't seem to be one for Pastor Pennington. He doesn't seem to have any like anything added inside there. But going back, you read about this reference to this thing like the founding of this town, like back in the early 1800s, and like they were essentially like pilgrims that came here, or not pilgrims. I'm sorry that they were like this. They had moved over here from Boston and stuff like that. But they were like Puritan type, like people that were, you know, very devout Christians came to this little town, and they talk about coming to these woods, and there's reference to something called the Chatterman. This Chatterman, they write about this thing that just came into town and like as a shadow and would tear people apart. Then it goes on and it talks about for years this happened, like every so often this thing would come and it would just murder people and then disappear into the darkness, and then it would come back a couple years later and it would do it again. And finally there's this mention of a Father O'Harris that was the priest at the time that was at the church, and talks about how he tried to like fight this thing, to bind this thing, and that there was this like evil presence that came and that he was able to somehow bind it. And it talks about how he found out that like for some reason like these like iron was what it was weak against. It was like actual like solid, like pure iron was what it was weak against. And supposedly he bound this thing in chains and exercised it. And he was able to trap it inside this reliquary that had been kept inside the church. And then it jumps ahead and it talks about another pastor that came along later about, it was only about 50 years ago that this another pastor had these strange like Romani came into town, and they set up camp outside of town, and they kept coming in, and they didn't seem to like do anything bad, but the townsfolk hated them and they thought them like intruders and whatnot. And it mentions that this Chatterman came back, and this time all of a sudden it started killing these people. And this time when it killed them, they were like crucified, like they were chained up to these walls and were, you know, murdered, eviscerated, kind of like similar to how they were killed before. But now this is new. There's something about chains being taken in and whatnot. Then the Romani moved away and left the town, and all of a sudden everything went back to normal. The way this it's written, again, it's written by these different preachers, and the way they talk about it, there's like this kind of like under, like it's almost purposefully vague, Like, they're saying, like, oh, and then for some reason they decided to leave. And it looks like the Chatterman was actually our salvation after all. But it's very vague as far as, like, how they address it. They're just like, oh, these things came into our town that we didn't like. And then all of a sudden, Chatterman shows up and all of a sudden it's gone. So, oh, I guess that just works out. Maybe God loves us. And then it goes to just 30 years ago. This is like in the heart of McCarthyism. All of a sudden, there's a bunch of suspected communists in the town. And all of a sudden, it starts happening again. That all these people, that there are suspected communists, all of a sudden are being essentially crucified, eviscerated, and sights of this thing that comes out at night in the darkness and just tears someone apart, leaves them chained up, and then disappears again. That's essentially where it stops.
T-Wood has been, like, speed reading through this for all of the...
Yeah, I think Tommy's reading some parts of it out loud, like, Are You Afraid of the Dark style.
Nice.
As he comes across it.
And then T-Wood is, like, speed reading ahead and, like... Yeah.
So it was the commies?
No.
I think it's the pastors.
I was trying to lighten the mood.
Every one of these pastors is gone now.
But they've all used it.
And none of them speak badly about it. Not really.
In the beginning they did.
Yeah, but then it looks like they found a way to control it.
Or it took them over or something, like Body Snatcher style.
That was a really good one.
Did it say anything about in there, or like how they controlled it, or how they got it to stop?
There's a part about chains, iron chains, and an exorcism, but I don't know how to do any of that. I don't know where to find pure iron chains.
Maybe a hardware store?
As Miss T-Wood's still combing over the book a little bit, she gets kind of to the end of it, and she finds kind of the end of that 30-year, the one that was 30 years ago, the communist one, where all those people died. And she finds that, strangely, the last death in that killing was a Father Jones, but a little different. At the time, there was the presiding priest. He was found in this church, slain by a young man named Peter Erickson and a group of his friends. When the cops found him, he had supposedly killed the preacher. The friends were eviscerated. The preacher wasn't. He was just stabbed. When the cops finally came to him, and essentially you're finding these, like, headline clippings, like, slid inside this book now, and the only thing he kept saying was he had to be stopped. He had to be stopped. And as far as what happened to Peter after that, there's nothing written, but that's the last bit, that that it was actually a preacher that was killed last. And they essentially pinned all the deaths around that time on this poor little Peter kid. This poor little Peter. Just that wee little
I'm
Peter.
Such a child, man. That made me giggle.
Poor little guy. Just never. He's
Adam,
just.
Adam just hears poor little Peter kid and he starts giggling. Oh my god. Look, oh. I know. Shame on us.
Like, can we all just acknowledge it?
Never.
Little Peter? I mean, yeah, we should worry about Little Peter. Like, I wonder what's up with him nowadays.
Like a penis.
So does that mean we have to, like, you know, like, kill the preacher?
Tommy, like, snaps the book shut. That too. One or the other. Maybe he has it. Does this place have a basement?
It does not. And there are a couple mentions of the book that the reliquary is supposed to be with the book. Like, there's literally, like, a line, never let this out of the sight, always keep it hidden type thing in there, but doesn't seem to be in this little hutch.
Sounds like something he'd have on
him. The priests usually live next door. Maybe it's in his house, or maybe it's on him.
Well, we can go look in his house.
Let's, before we go to the preacher's house, let's take these books and hide them in my van.
Nods. Good idea. That way he can't find them. He'll start scooping them up.
Okay.
and toss him into the van. Bam.
Well, as you guys are coming back out into the main area, you hear a voice and you see a flashlight. And it's kind of the southern voice again. Who the hell's in there? What is going on? Who is in my church? What is going on out here? And he's got this little flashlight. You see it kind of whipping back and forth, like almost like fidgety style, like all over the place, kind of across your faces and around the thing. And like, what's going on out here? Who breaks into a church?
He wants to try to quickly put the books behind his back.
That's yeah, like he was like
door was unlocked.
We wanted to talk about Jesus.
We came here for shelter.
Who is that? Is that Miss T-Wood? Miss T-Wood, what are you? Are these students? What are you doing in the church in the middle of the night?
After hearing your morning sermon, I thought it would be best to bring these youth here for safety.
I mean, this is
guidance.
This is highly, highly irregular.
Your lights were off.
Yeah, that's because we were sleeping. Like, the Lord gets up early.
What time is it?
At this point, it's probably around, like, 8, 9 o'clock.
My apologies. I did not realize you slept so early.
We have Saturday sermon tomorrow. You could have just brought him by then. I mean, there's no... Why is the...
She's going to, like, move forward to try and, like, make him move the light with her so that the mm-hmm. the students aren't, like, in the focus.
Yeah, so, like, I think, and he even kind of drops the light a little bit, like, not in your faces anymore. He kind of drops it down, like, I just, like, why is the font all on the floor? What happened to the holy water? You know how, you know, there's a whole ritual I have to do to bless this. This is not easy. You guys just act, did you knock it over? Were you playing water?
I'm so sorry.
No, it was pretty dark. Bumped into it.
Okay.
And T-Wood's going to, like, step across the holy water very gently and come up. Get as close to the priest as she can.
Okay.
And she's kind of looking for lumps in his clothes.
Lumps in his clothes. Well, he's wearing, like pajamas.
Okay, so there's no, like, pockets or anything where the reliquary could be hidden.
Not that you see. Go ahead and give me an investigate a mystery or whatever you want to roll right now. So let's say we got lots of, okay. So mixed you got a missed success. You got one question to ask. What you got? One question.
I guess, where did it go?
No, talking about the reliquary?
Hang on. There, where is it being... what is being concealed here?
Interestingly enough, nothing seems to be concealed here. He doesn't seem like he's lying to you or hiding anything. He just seems like a preacher that had his house broken into.
Church.
Church broken into. It's the house of the Lord.
Yeah, I was going to say the house of the Lord.
I really am so sorry about this. It was dark. We couldn't find the lights. We came here to reach out to, you know, the Lord. Yeah. She whispers. And
so he's kind of like takes the flashlight and kind of flashes it behind you guys to that door back to the room that you guys were in. And from there, he can kind of see that, like, the light hits that back wall with the open shelving area type thing. And he's like, were you going through this? You guys got that open? What was in there? I've never seen what's in that hutch.
Tommy's just kind of...
You guys find something in there?
Tommy's just kind of looking at him, but not saying anything.
Does T-Wood believe him?
That's a good question. Let's do a...
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that myself.
Yeah, there's no, like, insight. I guess investigate a mystery is still the type of thing that you would ask.
Yeah,
but you know what? I'll just let it roll off the last one, and we'll just say that, again, before you ask, like, what's being concealed, he didn't seem to be concealing anything, and you still get that feeling. Like, he does seem to legit, like, he's never had that damn thing opened before. Maybe it was just a stupid little hutch thing that he saw and just kind of like was like, well, whatever. Like, it's locked. It's all rusted shut. Like, you know, Obviously, it was important. It would have been left to him or something, so he just never bothered with it.
You've never had the hutch open?
No, I usually just use that room for writing sermons and whatnot, and that's only, you know, when people are being too loud. I mean, I'd say Eliza uses it more than I do.
Yep, there it is.
T-Wood's just gonna, like, look at the others.
Eliza is your wife?
Daughter.
Your daughter.
Spoke to us at school.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier.
Oh, Eliza, yes. I don't have her in my class.
Where is she usually at around this time?
And he's like, well, I mean, I would assume she's up in her room. And then as he starts saying that, you see his flashlight starts to flicker.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden it just cuts out. And the room is still very much lit by moonlight. Now that the sun has definitely set at this time. Say we're talking 9, 10 o'clock at night. You see that the moonlight's pouring in through the windows, and they're not even stained glass windows. They're just standard, like, tall cathedral window type deals. And you see the light start to kind of recede back, like as if it's like at first they pour out almost to the middle of the pews in the middle of the hallway or the aisle, and then the darkness kind of starts pushing back and back and back all the way up into the walls until the light comes almost like straight down and stops. And then from the seams of all of the edges of the church, you see this dark, like, smoke start to kind of roil and start to come up. And then a figure appears in the doorway, but not 3 foot tall or 8 foot tall. This one's like 5'3". And you see this darkened figure step forward, and she's wearing a nice white lace dress and her pretty blonde hair pulled back into a ponytail.
He's just kind of awkwardly holding the books.
Yeah.
Behind, like, the back still?
No.
Just like out in front of him? Like.
Yes.
So, this is where y'all went.